32, there's a story. True story. I don't ever read fiction. I don't like fiction. I like reality. So this is a story that is part of the transition of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, where they had been for over 400 years, set free from the bondage and the slavery there. They were traveling from there to the promised land. Came on this mountain called Mount Sinai. And they encamped around the bottom of the mountain. They circled the wagons. And Moses, the leader, went up on the mountain to talk to God. He had a 40-day prayer meeting. And there were no McDonald's up there. He and God, 40 days. While the Israelites were encamped at the bottom of the mountain, they got itchy fingers, itchy souls. Where is Moses? What's he doing? What's going on? And so they made a big, big mistake. Going to read about it. Moses been up there 40 days. God comes down and talks to him. God takes his finger and carves rock out of the mountainside and writes on it the Ten Commandments. Gives them to Moses. And Moses is carrying God's commandments down from the mountain. And when he gets close to camp, he hears a lot of noise, a lot of shouting. And so Joshua says to him, "Well, sounds like maybe there's an enemy in the camp." Moses said, "No, it's not the sound of fighting and warfare. It's the sound of rejoicing. What's going on?" And when he got close enough to see the scenario, he saw the children of Israel naked, dancing, drunk, having a sexual orgy around a golden calf. Verse 19, when he came near the camp, Moses saw the calf and the dancing, and he burned with anger. Moses got angry. He threw the stone tablets to the ground, smashing them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf they had made and burned it. And then he ground it into powder and threw it into the water and forced the people to drink it. Finally, he turned to Aaron and demanded, "What did these people do to you to make you bring such terrible sin upon them?" Aaron's answer, "Don't get so upset, my Lord. You yourself know how evil these people are." And they said to me, "Make us gods who will lead us. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses who brought us here from the land of Egypt." So I told them, "Whoever has gold jewelry, take it off." And when they brought it to me, I simply threw it into the fire and out came this calf. How many believe that? Moses saw that Aaron had let the people get completely out of control. All of you who are on the Lord's side, come here and join me. And all the Levites gathered around him. Moses told them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each of you take your swords and go back and forth from one end of the camp to the other. Kill everyone, even your brothers, friends, and neighbors. The Levites obeyed Moses' command, and about 3,000 died that day. Title of my message is, Who's on the Lord's Side? Heavenly Father, this is your word. You gave it to me last Sunday. You laid it on my heart. You said, deliver this word to your people. Holy Spirit, I need the touch of your presence so that our hearts will be open and our ears will hear and our minds will understand what God is saying to the church. Oh, touch these feeble lips of clay and this humble mind, that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, your word will be delivered to your people. I ask it humbly in your precious name. Amen. God's chosen people. Israel, can you imagine it? Cried out for another God. Only took them 40 days. Now they have the same possibility as Moses. They could have been praying with Moses for 40 days. Aaron could have said, let's us have a prayer meeting down here while Moses is praying up there. But they chose not to do so. They sat around the camp, had nothing to do except eat, sleep, go get the water, pick up the manna in the morning, bring it back to the tent, play with the kids, sat around and played with their iPads. Nothing to do but search the internet. Nothing to do but play war games. That's why we got so many people going bonkers these days. They get such violence in their systems and their minds until they think nothing of picking up a gun and shooting somebody else. You get the drift? God's people. What are God's people doing in the camp today? And so they didn't take them long until they started to cry out, Moses, where did he get to? What's he up to? We don't know any. Why are we sitting here 40 days? We could be on the way. And so they cried out, not to get moving, not to go find Moses, not so they could pray to God. They cried out for another God. A God who would deliver them. They wanted to replace the God who had delivered them from bondage. Can you imagine being enslaved for 400 years? You have to make mud bricks at the crack of the whip of the Egyptians. You have to pull the huge blocks of stone to make the pyramids. You have to work and fall and die at the hand of the slavery of the Egyptians. And after 400 years, the Egyptians said, there's getting to be too many of them. Kill all the little boys that are born. And then a man comes to camp. A man sent from God. And delivers them. They get set free from that bondage. Set free and delivered. And here they are on their way toward the promised land. And they get a little ways out of camp. And because they can't get everything they want right now, well, give us another God. We'll follow some other God. How in the world can you turn your back on a God who has shown such miracles and deliverance from your bondage? And I wonder today, how is it that people today can forget about God who has redeemed them and washed them in the blood of Christ, and yet they can tramp on the blood of Jesus and walk over top of it and go on their merry way? They cried out for a God, another God to replace the God who supplied their every need. Now every morning when I get up, I know my Grape Nut Flakes is in the cupboard. I go to the cupboard and I get my Grape Nut Flakes, and I pour a little of them in the bottom of the bowl, and then I put on my sweetener, and then I cut up a half a peach on top of that, and then I pour some more Grape Nut Flakes on top of that, and I put on some more sweetener, and I put the other half of the peach on top of that. Every morning, the Israelites went out and picked up manna that was baked in heaven. And God sent it down to them. And they could eat that manna, and it sustained them and gave them life and nutrition. Can you imagine getting up in the morning and taking your pail or taking your pots or pans out and gathering up heavenly food off the ground, putting it in your pots and pails, and taking it in and setting it in the refrigerator and eating off it all day long. Heavenly food. God supplied their need. Every morning when they got up, they took their pajamas off. The outfit that they had on the day before was just as good as it was the day it was made. Hallelujah. God supplied their need. When they needed water to drink, 3 million people, how much water would that take? Moses went to the rock. And when he smote the rock, God gave plenty of water that all of those people could drink, and their animals and their needs supplied. God supplied all of their needs, and yet now they're saying, we want another God to replace the God that has provided our needs. How many of you know God provides for you? How many of you believe it's God that gives you the right to breathe? Amen. It's God that gives you the air, the oxygen that you can breathe. You know, there's no other place in the universe, any place whatsoever, where you can breathe oxygen like you can breathe here on the earth. Aren't we blessed? Who did it? God did it. The food that we have on our table. I went and preached a revival for a friend of mine one time downtown D.C., Washington, D.C. And I was sitting at his table, and we were eating fried chicken and all of those good things. And he said to me, we don't need you people out there in the country. He said, we got everything we need right here in Washington. I said, where did you get that chicken and that milk and that cereal? And, well, he went down to the store and got it. I said, where do you think the store got it from? Well, I don't know. You dummy. Got it from the farmer out in the field. That that's where it came from. Supplied it. God supplies our every need. The food we put on our table or we get at the restaurant this afternoon, it's the blessing of God. If God shut the spigot off like He's done in the middle of our country, we would see very quickly what it is to do without. So God is our blesser. God provides our every need. He has delivered to us the wonderful needs of our lives. They had their wages, their back wages paid to them when they left Egypt. How about that? God told them, said, borrow from your neighbors. Egyptian neighbors. And so the Egyptians, you know, our slaves are leaving town. They need things. So the Egyptians gladly gave and heaped up on them gold and silver and food and everything they needed for the journey and the travel. That was back pay for the 400 years they had been in slavery. He delivered them through the Red Sea. What a blessing that was, with the Egyptian army closing in on them. God opened the Red Sea, dried it up overnight. They walked across 3 million people onto the other banks. And when the Egyptians come riding their chariots down into the midst of that path through the sea, God closed it up and drowned an whole Egyptian army. And set them free. Do you remember the blessings of prosperity that you have from sinful practices? How many used to smoke or chew or, you know, take drugs? How much money did you put into that? Huh? I had a man on the Eastern Shore tell me that he had drank up 2 or 3 farms. Paid that much out for alcohol down through his life. What about sinful living? The pleasures of sin, the gambling, the lotteries, and everything else. Wanting more, wanting this and wanting that to satisfy. But since we got saved, since we got redeemed, since we were washed in the blood of Jesus, and He took all of that stuff away from us and cleansed us and purified us. Oh, hallelujah! Extra money! Extra blessing! Besides that, extra physical blessings. Amen? Gave them manna to eat every day, spiritual blessing through prayer and the Word of God. How many of you are blessed when you pick up the Bible and you read what God says in His Word? Does it bless your soul? There's times when I'm reading what He says in the Bible and I back up my chair and I say, "Woo, glory, hallelujah." Amen. The blessings of God, the spiritual blessings of the Lord. Deliverance from the trials of life. Plenty of water to quench the thirst, the refreshing of the soul through the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been praying and the Spirit of God just come pouring down on you through your soul and you just have to stop and say, "Woo, hallelujah, glory to God." If you haven't had that kind of experience, you need to really get in touch with God. Amen. It's there. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to refresh the soul and refresh the spirit. These people cried for God, for another God, to replace the God who required righteousness. He required service to Jehovah alone. No other gods were allowed. No God of material things. Hello? Oh, Lord, I can't go to church today. I've got to go do this or that or the other so I can get some money to buy another iPod. Huh? Or tablet. Or another phone. How many have a cell phone? How many of you have it turned off?
Amen.
I just now did. Yeah, I'm waiting on a call from God, but I'm busy right now. No other gods. What is it in our life that puts God second? Is there anything in our life that puts Him in second, third, fourth, fifth place? Are there any things in our lives that put God off? We put before serving Him, loving Him, giving to Him, doing His will, honoring Him, that we want another God. They didn't want the God of righteousness who said there can be no other gods. They wanted to replace the God who required righteousness rather than sexual, that included sexual purity. You see how quick here they stripped naked and caved into their sensual desires. You get away from God. You get away from the Lord, and the first thing you know, you'll be wanting to satisfy the flesh. Amen. I got to have another dip of mashed potatoes. I have to have the 6 chicken leg. I stop at 4. Maybe 5. But I can't handle 6. Hello. Satisfy the flesh. Satisfy the desires of the flesh. The sexual, the immoral. God is requiring of them righteousness and purity. And they're calling for another God to replace Him. The children of Israel calling for another God to replace the fire of revival and the goodness of God in their lives. You know, almost all modern denominations were born in the fire of spiritual revival. But today, they entertain practices that are far removed from the Scripture and practices of the apostles and the New Testament church. They're allowing things to go on today in the name of religion and in the name of church that are absolutely abhorred by God. Amen. And that's what Israel was doing. They were calling for another God, but that would allow them to live any old life they pleased to live. Let me tell you, when you're serving the true and the living God, you have to live a life of righteousness and purity and holiness before Him. He is not a God who says, live as you please, do anything you want, eat, drink, and be merry. He requires purity, righteousness. So they were crying out for a God to replace this God that Moses brought to their attention. The chosen spiritual leader, Aaron, allowed for Israel's deviant desires. They requested other gods, and he gave in to their desires. They went to Aaron, give us another god. And so, not to ruffle their feathers, not to make them angry so they'll leave church and take their ties down the road someplace else. Amen. Oh, we've got to keep everybody here and we have to keep everybody happy. So whatever you want to do, that's all right with me as long as you stay in your pew. That's what Aaron was succumbing to. They requested other gods and he gave in. People today request deviant practices be accepted by the church, and religious leaders do so. They yield. They give in to them. They allow them to live whatever life they please to live. We don't want to make anybody unhappy. We want everybody to feel at home regardless. But let me tell you what, when you get into a place of righteousness with God, and when you walk into the kingdom of God, the Holy of Holies, you better be right. Let me tell you, if the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and he was contrary to God's will, and he had been doing things that he shouldn't have been involved in, when he went behind the curtain, God would strike him dead. They tied a rope to his foot to pull him out. That you don't enter into the presence of God just living any old way you please. Well, he wants you to come with your sins as you are and ask repentance and forgiveness. And when you do, he cleanses you. Hello? He washes you white as the snow. He takes away the old sin. But you see, what's going on today in churches is the same thing that happened there in Israel. People request their deviant practices be accepted by the church. Don't say anything about how we live and what we do and the actions we take. We can live without marriage. We can live without being married. We can do as we please. We can smoke and drink and chew and cuss and everything else, get mad and act hateful at home and everything else. Just don't ever say anything to me about it. When I come to church and put on my smile and I have my Sunday duds on, you just accept me as I don't ask any questions. He labored. Aaron actually labored. Now, he said to Moses, he put that gold in the fire and out came. Let me tell you something. Somebody made a mold. Somebody made a mold. That calf just didn't appear as a calf. Somebody made a mold that when they poured that molten gold into it, it formed a calf. Why a calf? Because that's what the pagan people around them worshipped and honored. Moloch. They bowed to the calves and to the images other than God, the true God. But Aaron labored to make their God for them. Today, preachers and religious leaders have joined the ranks to support and work the work of the wrong practices in the church today. He made excuses for himself when faced by God's true leader. The same thing goes on today. Oh, we can't offend anybody. We can't say anything that'll make somebody angry or make them feel uncomfortable or uneasy. Nothing but an excuse. Definition of excuse: the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. God needs people and a man who will stand for righteousness. Moses dared to stand for the true God. 3 million people down here, dancing naked, throwing themselves, going after this false God, having the time of their life. And one man with his spiritual leader Joshua come down from the mountain, and he dares to stand before them and challenge them. Moses had been with God and had God's power with him. That's where some of the problem is today. Religious leaders need to get with God. They need to get down to business with their relationship with God. Today we depend on our degree from seminary. And that'll get us through. Boy, if I have all of the education, then I can be a spiritual leader and I can be a spiritual preacher. No. You have to get with God. God said, when you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you.
Amen.
Amen. Moses got angry at sin in God's camp. How many of us are disturbed when we see things going on in the house of God that are not right?
Amen.
How many of us get upset about it? Amen. Was it all right for Moses to get angry?
Yes.
Does the Bible say God gets angry?
Yes.
Amen. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. It means anger is a distaste for that which is wrong, and a distaste for that which is going on as sin in the camp of God. And when we look around the church today and see things that are going on that are contrary to the voice of God and to the Word of God and the heart of God, we need to be disturbed about it. Moses had courage to stand in the minority for what was right. We need some religious leaders today who'll get some backbone. We need less than Tiny Tim's tiptoeing through the tulips. We need somebody who is willing to stand up, square their shoulders, and stick out their chests and say, God is God, and He is righteous, and He declares that all His people be righteous.
Amen.
And live for Him in holiness.
Amen.
Moses challenged the wickedness in the camp. Religious leaders need to stand up and challenge the wicked practices in the church today. Amen. We need to make our voice heard. We need to let the world know we will not tolerate debauchery, and we will not tolerate in the wickedness of the world inside the body of Christ. You remember the story in 1 Corinthians where Paul wrote to him, and there was a man in the Corinthian church that was having an affair with his daddy's second wife. And it was going on in the church, and they were coming to church, and they were in part of the worship, and they came every time they had church, and they sat together, and here was this adulterous situation going on. Everybody knew it, and they were putting up with it. And Paul wrote to him and said, you need to clean house. I paraphrased it a little bit. Need to get that sin out of the church and deal with it. Moses challenged the wickedness in the camp. And so we need to challenge that which is going on in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses called for a decision from the people. Religious leaders need to cause people to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve, said Joshua. Amen. Moses made them make a choice. He cried out from the side of the camp, standing at the foot of the mountain with the broken pieces of the commandments of God at his feet. He cried out and said, who is on the Lord's side? In other words, he was saying, get in or get out. Make up your mind. You can't be on the fence. You can't be 50% Christian and 50% for the world. You can't be 95% Christian and 5% for the world. You're either in or you're out. You're either for God or against God. You have to make up your mind. You can't be on one side or the other. There needs to be a call for repentance in the altar and deliverance from sin. I still believe God will clean you up. Amen. If you come and repent. Amen?
That's right.
I still believe God will take away the old things of the world. My Bible tells me He will make you a brand new creation. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things shall become new. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Dick West used to use language, he said, that made him embarrassed. But the day he bowed his knee down on Whitehall Road at a row of chairs that we had set up for an altar, and he prayed through to Christ, when he got up off his knees, the language was gone and he had a new vocabulary. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He had a temper that if you crossed that line, bam, you had it. He hit you. He didn't wink a second time. You came across him and crossed his way and made him, and boom, it was over. I've taken care of business, but the day he got up off his knees, the Lord took it away. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Makes a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. I'm telling you, if you've got things in your life that are contrary to the divine will of God, and you have things that you're calling out before God for another God, these take the place of the God of heaven, then come to this altar. Repent. Get right with God. If you need to be cleansed and purified, He'll dip you under the blood flow, and you'll come out a brand new individual.
Yes, amen.
Moses called for a purging of the camp. Wasn't a pretty sight. Cut off the wicked. 3,000 died that day. If people will not repent and recant of their sinfulness, then they need to be removed from the fellowship of the body of Christ. I know what that's about. I started a church on the Eastern Shore. Didn't have a church, so we met in a man's house. Sunday school. Used his bedrooms for Sunday school rooms. I preached across the kitchen bar. We set up 55 chairs. I squeezed them together in that kitchen, and that's where I preached. And this man was the superintendent of the church. Superintendent of the Sunday school. And he backslid. And I got wind that he was out doing things that he shouldn't be doing. And he came home from work one night, and I went up and said, "Get in the car." Now I'm 5'10", he was about 6'3". "Get in the car." We went for a ride. I pulled off the road into a field, and I looked at him and I said, "You're backslid. You're away from God." "Who told you?" I said, "The Holy Ghost." And I'm telling you right now that I am taking you out of being superintendent of the Sunday school. You are no longer superintendent. I'm telling you right now that I'm giving you 30 days to repent and get right with God. I'm going to be fasting and praying for you, and I'm going to be asking God that you repent and get right with Him. Otherwise, in 30 days, I'm removing your name from the membership of the church. And I'm having church in his house. He had to get up on a Sunday morning, get dressed, leave his house so that we could come have church. How about that for a scenario? That went on for a little while until we got the frame of the church up. No windows, no doors. subfloor, old two-before altar, and I stacked shingles up and put a tablecloth over them, and that was my pulpit. We had to move out. Thank the Lord. Sometime later, he got saved. Gave his heart to the Lord. God called him to preach, and he pastored a church for a number of years. You see, you can't put up with sin in the camp. It's time to call for a purging of the body of Christ. Make sure that we place an example before the community and before God that we are serious about living for Him and serving Him. I ask you this morning, whose side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side?
Yeah.
Do you have the courage to stand for righteousness in the church? Do you have the courage to stand for righteousness in your family? Do you have the courage to stand for righteousness in your community and where you work and in your school? I deliver to you a clarion call today. Who is on the Lord's side? Come, stand with me. If you want to choose to be on the Lord's side, you can come. That means I'm turning my back on everything in the world. I'm turning my back on everything that's wrong. Turning my back on everything that is contrary to God's word and God's righteousness. I want to be a child of God that is pleasing to God. I don't want to replace the God of my life with any other God. Lift your hands and begin to tell Him your relationship to Him. Lord, I choose to be with you. I choose to be on your side. I choose to serve you. You are my God. And I'm willing to take a stand. Lord, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what I have to do. I am on the Lord's side. And I will stand for God in the face of this whole world and its iniquity. I choose to serve God.
Yes.
I choose to serve Christ. I choose to live the right life, the good life, the life that is pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Oh, Master, I will not call out for another God. I am on your side,
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah! You made that choice. Glory to God. Hallelujah! If you've got anything in your life that is contrary to the will of God, now's the time to repent. Now's the time to give it up. Now's the time to lay it on God's altar. Now's the time to say, Lord, I don't want anything coming between you and me. I don't want anything in my life that is contrary to your divine will. If it's temper, if it's habits, if it's anything that is contrary to God, then I give it up to you, Lord. I surrender it right now. Cleanse me. Wash me and make me your child. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Now turn to somebody and say, welcome to the camp.
Welcome to the camp.